Across central Wisconsin, people are tuning in and sounding off. Call in now. 715-845-2155. WSAU Feedback on AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.
Happy Friday, everybody. Welcome to Feedback. 715-845-2155 is the phone number if you would like to be a part of the show. Anything you want to talk about today, it's Open Phone Friday. It's all about you. So give us a call. Take control of the program. I'm going to go sit over here, have a cup of coffee, relax after having a complete meltdown with technology earlier this morning.
Didn't you ever learn that in radio, giving up the microphone to the audience is very rarely a good idea? Like if you're at a location somewhere and you're interviewing somebody and they take the mic away from you, it's hard to get it back sometimes.
Well, yeah, that's why you have a stun gun. It's interesting. It's like, hey, we're doing this live gig here. Tell us about
it. The break's supposed to be a minute long, and all of a sudden, you're chasing them down 20 minutes later.
Well, back in 1876, when we first came to this game. All right, so welcome to it. It's going to be a fun day. I just want to relax and have a good conversation. Let's start off, however, with the Fort Hood shooter, Nadal Hassan. We haven't heard a lot about him. You know, the process of his case and so forth is moving forward. But now he's back in the news because he's decided that with this new hip thing happening over in the Middle East, this ISIS thing, he wants to be a part of it. He don't want to be left out. He wants to be part of the Islamic State. Yes, I want to be part of the terrorist group that is like just the newest, hippest thing. I formally and humbly request to be made a citizen of the Islamic State, he said. It would be an honor for any believer to be an obedient citizen soldier to a people and its leader who don't compromise the religion of Almighty Allah to get along with the disbelievers. I don't want to compromise the religion in order to get along with the disbelievers. So let's kill them all. Hassan killed 13, injured 30 more. Plus 30 more at the 2009 Fort Hood shooting. The Obama administration, of course, classified it as an act of workplace violence. Now, that's what I want to come about with. I think it's very clear that Nadal Hassan, this was not an act of workplace violence. When Tom gets upset and throws his shredded weed everywhere, that's workplace violence. Okay? But when Nadal Hassan kills individuals, yelling Allahu Akbar, and is then decided, I want to be a part of ISIS, this guy's a terrorist. He is, was, and probably always will be, a terrorist. But I did a little research. The government, in playing it safe, said, and I don't believe this is the real reason, the government, playing it safe, said, well, there's not really enough evidence for us to officially classify the Fort Hood shooting as an act of terrorism. There's not enough evidence. Like, people on both sides of the aisle jumped on that and said, look, this is ridiculous. You have to label it what it was. Terrorism. Domestic terrorism, but it's terrorism. Along with the label of terrorism comes a lot of ramifications. First of all, the benefits to those that got shot, injured, and those that got killed, the benefits change. The government's on the hook for a lot more when it is the result of terrorism. But I don't think the cost was anything that the government really considered in making this determination. When you have a government that enjoys spending money it doesn't have for people that don't need the benefit, then I don't really think that they're going to bat an eyelash of paying money out to another group of people. I think it had something more to do with the determination that this administration believes, and I think they really do believe, that it is the duty of the Western world, which we lead, we are the leaders of the Western world, it is the Western world's responsibility to do everything it can to make nice with all of the Middle East, all of the Islamic areas of the Middle East of the and of all Islamic nations of the world. The more I see President Obama and his actions, the actions of the State Department, the actions of the White House, the more I am convinced that it's not a case of ignorance. It's not a case of being blind to world happenings. It's a case of having a strategy, of thinking falsely that you can appease and negotiate with individuals and groups like ISIS, like Hamas, like Al-Qaeda, et cetera.
You think the terrorists who've been vaporized by our drones would disagree with you on that point? And could his comments about ISIS have been any clearer yesterday? That
You mean the comments he said when we don't have a plan on doing anything about these people?
Not yet. The comments that he made about how this group's ideology is nothing but violence, chaos, and...
I understand what you're saying. I do. But I don't believe that Obama feels the way that the radicals are to be dealt with is annihilation. I do not think that he believes that the solution to the problem is to wipe them out. I believe our president thinks that the solution to the problem is containment. Appease the Islamics. Appease those that are living in Islamic areas of the world. Appease them. Make them feel included. Make them feel welcome. Make them do everything we can to wrap our big, warm, fuzzy hands around them and make them feel loved. And that if you contain the radicals, we'll all live together happy in the sandbox. And
he will kill the radicals when they are available to be killed, but there are going to be Islamic countries in this world regardless of what we do.
The
idea that we have to live with them is something that has to be dealt with.
Do you think that he believes that containment is the way to go?
Well, we certainly don't have the option of invading every country where there are Islamic terrorists. I mean, we just can't do it. We don't have the manpower. We don't have the treasure. We don't have the will to go in and do that.
So, yes?
So, yes, what?
Do you think that he believes containment is the way to handle
this? I believe
this?
That he will kill terrorists when they are available to be killed, but the idea that we could go in and smash every terrorist on the planet and every terrorist group on the planet is not something that's functional.
You know what you need to do? You need to be the next White House spokesperson for press secretary. You would do such a good
job.
That
would be the worst job in the world.
You would do so well at it.
Would there be a worse job than that?
You would be so well at it. Oh, I couldn't do it.
Well, there are no yes and no answers to the questions you ask.
Yes, there are.
No, they're not.
Oh, clearly
there are. The world is gray. It is not black and white, even though you'd like it to be.
I ask you your opinion. Do you think that he feels containment is the answer?
I think containment is part of what has to be done. Okay. Yeah.
That's closer to an answer. Thanks for calling. What's your name?
Hey, this is Aaron in Stevens Point.
Hey, man, what can we do for you?
I'm not sure if you guys have seen this video that's making the rounds on the internet. It's an interview on Fox News. And it's a 3-star general, and he is saying, listen, 9/11/14 is going to be huge. We need to be prepared. We need to go to DEFCON 1. This video, and you'll have to Google it, it's actually a Fox interview. It's gotten buried by the media, and even by, I haven't even seen it on sites like Drudge or even Alex Jones InfoWars, which is kind of surprising.
Yeah.
So I would suggest taking a look at that. I'm not sure if this guy is off his meds for the day or if he's if he actually knows something that we don't. It's pretty disturbing to watch it.
Well,
he believes there's going to be a coordinated attack on September 11th this year against us.
He even mentions that we might see the missing Malaysia airliner used as a weapon against us. You'll have to see it. And he goes on about...
What was this guy's name?
Is he a current general or a retired general?
He's a retired general.
Yeah.
3-star general. Just Google it. Just retired general warns about 9/11/14. It'll come up right away.
You look for that. And here's the thing. Hang on one second. Tom, here's what I want you to look for. Is this the same guy that said he had fact and proof that the Malaysian airliner had landed somewhere and was going to be used, you know, as a terrorist attack later? There was a former military man, and I don't want to, you know, throw speculation out there, but he was on Fox. I watched the interview. He was a former military individual being interviewed by Fox that said he had proof that the missing Malaysian airliner had been hijacked, had landed in a foreign land, and it was going to come out very, very soon.
Well, and here's the other thing with what he's saying is that he goes on to say that there's going to be a book that's going to be released on the 7th of September that's going to explain all this. So I don't know if it's media hype, he's just trying to create a buzz, and maybe that's why Fox buried it. Who knows?
Is it a book he wrote?
He doesn't say. They asked him to give a little more information on it, and he says, I can't say anything more about it. But in my personal opinion, when it comes to the ISIS, these Islamist extremists, we need to set an example, and we need to be carpet bombing, napalming, and tactical nukes if need be. These people need to be taken out.
Yeah, and see, there's the difference. There is a difference between containment and annihilation. We don't have to invade other nations in order to annihilate ISIS. We find them. We send in special forces. We take care of them from the air, but we come at them brutally, harshly, and definitively. And we don't take prisoners. We don't bring them back and prosecute. We kill them, and then we leave.
Absolutely. And what I'm going to say next is going to sound harsh to some people, but I am really getting sick and tired of listening to people talk about not killing civilians. These civilians in these countries are not doing their own job in their own country, taking care of these people. They are harboring them. They are giving them aid. And you know what? War is dirty. If they're going to declare war on us, then I'm sorry. We're going to drop some bombs on you. Yeah. And women and children, they might get hurt. They might get killed. That's the nature of it. But if you don't want to get into that realm with us, then don't make the threats. Don't kill our people.
I agree with you, brother. Thank you very much for calling in. Thanks for listening to the program.
Lieutenant General Tom McInerney, who is the guy who earlier had suggested that the Malaysian Airlines plane had landed in Pakistan and was going to be used as a weapon, does say that 9/11/14 will be, there will be major attacks, that we should go to DEFCON 1.
So it is the same guy.
Which is one step away from nuclear war.
It is the same guy. You confirm that.
Well, it says the story on the bottom says he has previously suggested that the commercial airliner that disappeared in March could have safely landed in Pakistan, where it sits ready to be used by terrorists. He insists that there will be an upcoming book, quote, from a major news network and publishing network that he said will offer an earth-shattering look at the immediate danger posed by the Islamic militants and the fact that we may even see the plane resurface again.
All right, let's see if he's right. He said September 7th? Is that what our caller said?
That's when the book comes out. September 11th is when the attacks will happen. Sky is falling. We'll see if this guy is Nostradamus or if he's Chicken Little.
You want to borrow some of my guns?
Feedback at 8, The Jerry Bader Show at 9 on WSAU.
Welcome back to the program. 715-845-2155 is the phone number. Okay, this segment, because we ran a little bit long in the last segment, it needs to be a bit more brief. So let me touch on this. Remember not too long ago we talked about there was a video online of a guy driving his million-dollar Bugatti Veyron? And he's driving along this beautiful piece of, he's on this nice road. He's on this, it looks like, I don't know, just next to a river or a waterway. He's driving along, and then all of a sudden, for no explanation whatsoever, the car goes into the water, makes a big splash. And I remember when I saw this, it was back in 2009, I guess. I remember when I saw this, and I'm like, why would that? Well, the story came up that apparently, he was reaching for his cell phone. The driver was reaching for his cell phone while driving the car, lost control, and ended up in the river. Okay, that could be believed, I guess. A Bugatti Veyron has somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 horsepower. It's an amazing piece of technology as far as vehicles go. If you are into supercars and you have that kind of that kind of love for the technology, wow, it's an impressive. But something still didn't sit right, you know, by just watching the video. Well, it has come to light what happened here. The guy bought the car for about $1 million. 39-year-old Andy Lee bought the car for about $1 million and then took a $2.2 million insurance policy on it. You spend $1 million to make two. Okay, that's good math. Yeah, apparently he drove the car into the saltwater bay on purpose. He then tried to file a claim on the car. He would have gotten away with it, too, if it hadn't been for those meddling kids. The video that we see online was shot by a passing motorist. Somebody saw the car they were interested in. They decided to take video of it and just happened to catch the car going into the water. Well, the video contradicted a lot of what the driver said happened. Well, he's been found guilty of fraud, $1 million fraud scam. If he is convicted, he could spend 20 years in prison. So what happened to the car? Well, salt water got into the engine, and that's that. Done. The car was basically sold at an extremely expensive scrap auction. Remember, the price tag was over $1 million when it was new. It sold at an auction for $277,000. Wow. Crime doesn't pay. WSAU, Wisconsin Morning News. This is Feedback, 715-845-2155. We'll be back after this.
I felt really compelled to call on my way into work.
The news you need, the issues you're passionate about.
And what's wrong with that?
AM 550, FM 99.9, WSAU.